'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul makes this statement, and it is true with regard to every believer without exception. If you believe the gospel, this is true with regard to you. Now listen to his words. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Now he's not speaking to all men indiscriminately. He is speaking to believers. He's speaking to the church at Corinth, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is not something that any son of Adam could claim, but listen to his words. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What a staggering claim. The Spirit of God, this is said to every believer, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. God is one God in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. The omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient Spirit of the living God dwells in every believer. Now, if I came up to someone on the street and said, God dwells in me, one of two things would be true with regard to their response. They might say, well, isn't he in all of us? He made us all. Doesn't he dwell in all of his creatures? Or they may say, you're crazy and you're arrogant. And I can understand that response. Nonetheless, the Bible says that the Spirit of the living God dwells in every believer. Literally. Not figuratively, but literally. If I'm a child of God, that means the Spirit of God actually takes residence in me. He lives in that new heart that he has given me. Not figurative language. As I'm speaking to you right now, the Word of God tells me that the Spirit of God lives in me. Now, I repeat, what a staggering claim. You are the temple of God, just as the Old Testament temple was the special residence of the omnipresent God. And he said his special presence would always be there. And the children of Israel were called to pray toward the temple. And he says, you, the people of God, you are the temple of God, the dwelling place of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, he doesn't say what that meaning is. He simply states it as a fact. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, in Romans chapter 8, he tells us what that means. So if you could get a Bible and follow along, I think it would be very helpful. We're going to look at this first half of the chapter of Romans chapter 8. But in verse 9, he makes this statement to the Roman believers. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now there we have it. Once again, he says to every believer, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, what is meant by this being in the flesh or in the Spirit? Is it that we fall into the flesh sometimes and into the Spirit the other time? Not at all. You're either always in the flesh or you're always in the Spirit. And Paul tells us what that means in this passage of Scripture. So if you'd read along and listen carefully. Paul makes this statement in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now. Right now. Present tense. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, right now, I stand before God uncondemned. There is nothing to condemn me for. I have no guilt. Christ put away my sin, and right now, this is true with regard to every believer, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean to be in Christ Jesus? I think the simplest illustration of that is baptism, Christian baptism. Now, what happens when someone is baptized? Well, first, it's not an infant that's baptized. It's a believer. The Lord said, whoso believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. It is a believer that's called upon to be baptized. This is what a believer does after they believe the gospel. They confess Christ in believers' baptism. Now, what does baptism signify? The word means immerse. You go under the water and you come back out of the water. Immersion, baptism, what does it signify? When I'm baptized, I say that when Jesus Christ lived, I lived in Him. When He kept the law, I kept the law in Him. Baptism has to do with union with the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. God's elect are eternally united to Jesus Christ. There's never been a time when they were not united. Now, when I was born into this world, I didn't know that. Until I heard and believed the gospel, I didn't know that. But every believer has always been in Christ. He said, behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, when Christ lived, I lived. Now, when you're baptized, you go under the water, signifying death and burial. When Christ died, I was in Him. I died. When He made payment for sin, the sins that I've committed in this body, He bore in His own body on the tree, and that's why He died and He paid for them. He satisfied the claims of God's law against them. So when He was punished for sin, I was punished for sin. Now what happens when you're baptized? You come back up out of the water. That is Christ being raised from the dead. When He was raised from the dead, I was in Him. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That's why there's no condemnation for me. I have been justified by Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And here is what all who are in Christ Jesus have in common, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the word after is usually translated according to. All who are in Christ walk not according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit of God. Now let's go on reading. He's going to expand as to what that means. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, notice the use of this word law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. One law makes you free from the other law. Now, what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? If you're alive, you breathe. You take air into your lungs. Your heart's beating. It's causing the blood to circulate through the body. The oxygen from that air is brought into the blood. It feeds all the different parts of your body. That's a law that's going on. If you don't have that going on, you do not have life. You're dead. When that stops, they put me in the grave. That's the law of life. If you're alive, you breathe. Your blood pumps. Now, if you have spiritual life, there are certain laws that operate in you. If you have spiritual life, God's given you a new nature, you believe the gospel. It's the nature of a believer to believe. He didn't believe before he was given this new heart and this spiritual life, but he does now. It's your nature to continually practice repentance. It's your nature to see yourself as a sinner. It's the new nature that sees the old nature as sinful. It's the new nature that owns the sins of the old man. It's your nature to see your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your nature to love God. It's your nature to love Him in all of His glorious attributes. It's your nature to love your brethren. It's a spiritual law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's what all who practice having life in Him by the Spirit, His Spirit within them. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death is God's holy law. The Ten Commandments. Everything contained in the law given to Moses. It's called the law of sin and death. And here's why it's called the law of sin and death. Because all it does is expose my sin and pronounce my death apart from the work of Christ. That's all the law can do. I can't keep it. You can't keep it. All it does is expose our sin and sentence death upon us. Now, I love God's law. I'm not speaking disrespectfully with regard to God's law. But it is the law of sin and death. Now, what does he mean, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death? Well, Paul expressed it in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, when he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. And that word dominion is lordship. Sin's not your Lord. Christ is your Lord, if you're a believer. Sin shall not have lordship over you, for you're not under law, but you're under grace. You see, the law has already been satisfied. I'm not under that law. I'm under the grace of God. Now he says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, speaking of the Ten Commandments, of the law God gave Moses, what the law could not do, what, you know, it can never produce love. It can never produce forgiveness. It can never produce faith. It can't save anybody. That's what he's saying. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The problem's not with the law, the problem's with me. My flesh, my sinful flesh, my natural man. The law is not the problem, I'm the problem. Every man and woman born into this world is so evil that they cannot keep the law at all. And we're going to see that in a couple of verses down, but let's go on reading. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh. He never sinned. But it was man in the flesh that sinned. Man in the flesh must die. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, on account of sin. My sin became his sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's why there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It was condemned in Christ and put away. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law, the holy law of God, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's holy law is fulfilled in Christ. I've kept it. In us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here we have that phrase again. Now let's go on reading. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Now if I'm after the flesh, that means I haven't been born again. That means I have the nature only that I was born with. I'm going to mind the things of the flesh. I'm going to think the way a lost man thinks. I'm going to conduct myself the way a lost man conducts himself. I'm someone who does not have the Spirit of God, and my mind is fleshly. I naturally believe in salvation by works. That's as natural to me as breathing if I'm in the flesh. I look to myself rather than Christ for salvation. That's what every natural man does. He looks to himself in some way. He's after the flesh. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. You see, if you have spiritual life, you don't look to your flesh for salvation. You look to Christ. You don't look to your works to save you. You look to His work to save you. That's having the mind of the Spirit. If you have the mind of the Spirit, you look only to Christ. If you have only the mind of the flesh, you're a stranger to actually trusting and resting in Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to think the way the natural man does, is death. That's where it will lead. Eternal death. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it can't rise above that. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, this spiritual mindedness is not somebody that's real spiritual as opposed to materialistic. That's the way people think. I'm a spiritual person. You're a spiritual person if you've been born again. That's the only thing that makes someone a spiritual person. You have a spirit. And that spiritual mind looks to Christ only. Because the carnal mind, he says in verse 7, the fleshly mind, the mind you were born with, is enmity against God. You and I were born into this world God's enemies, hating God. Now, before you say, not me, the cross says you, and the cross says me. The one time men were allowed to do what they wanted to do, they nailed God to a tree. They said, we'll not have this man reign over us. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It's unable to keep the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It doesn't even have the potential to. So then, they that are in the flesh, those who have not been born of the Spirit, those who are nothing more than natural men, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Only the believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And I love the way he's called the Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, what this is a reference to is the two natures that are in every believer. The body is dead. Now, my body's not dead yet. It will be one day as far as physically dead, but that's talking about the old man. The old corrupt man is dead because of sin. That's why Paul cried out in the last verse of Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" The body is still dead in sins. It's just as corrupt as it ever was. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." I'm not always going to have this body of death. When I die, I'm going to be raised from the dead with a glorified, sinless body, perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If I live according to fleshly maxims, the wisdom of the flesh, the religion of the flesh, the works of the flesh, I will die and I will go to hell." That's what he's saying. "If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." Now, what is meant by that? How do you put to death the deeds of the body? Does that mean you are tempted to commit some sin and you put it to death and it's gone and you no longer have problems with that? It doesn't mean that at all. What does it mean? Well, I hope this will be helpful. You are to put to death any hope of being saved by the deeds of your body. Put it to death. It won't happen. Put it to death. Look to Christ alone and put to death the deeds of these bodies. Understand that your righteousnesses are nothing more than filthy rags according to the Scriptures. And put to death any hope of self-salvation. That's when you trust Christ. That's when you rest in Him and look to Him. It also means this, and this is so important. It's true that I still have this corrupt nature, sinful nature, that still has all the appetites that it always had, sinful appetites. I've heard a preacher say one time, "I don't have the sinful desires that I used to have." And I said, "You're a liar. I don't believe that for a second. That's just not so." We still have these corrupt natures. Now, let me give you two examples from the Scripture. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery with her already." Now, those are the Lord's words. Well, does someone say, "Well, I have done that in my heart. Therefore, since I'm doing it, I might as well act it out." No. Put it to death. Don't think you're allowed to act that out just because you have a sinful nature. You're to put it to death. You're to stab it. You know, the Lord said, "Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is guilty of murder." Now, I've had plenty of people make me mad. I wish I had a more gracious disposition, but I've had plenty of people make me mad, and I thought, I'd like to kill them. I'm so mad at what they did or what they said or how they hurt me, or, you know, it's fleshly on my part, but okay, well, you've already committed murder in your heart. Might as well go ahead and act it out. No, you don't act it out. You put it to death. This is a part of what Paul was speaking of in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, when he says, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit." That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's talking about the spiritual nature that every believer has. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things you would. If you live after the flesh, you'll die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, that spirit where you're just afraid of God punishing you because you did this or you didn't do that, therefore he's going to make you sick or make you wreck a car or he's going to make your children sick or something horrible is going to happen. That's bondage. That's the thinking of the flesh. That's salvation by works. But he says to every believer, you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is my Father, reconciled to me through his Son. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. I hear the gospel. I believe the gospel. I know I'm a child of God. That's God the Holy Spirit bearing witness to my spirit that I am a child of God. And if children, every believer is a child, not a slave, not under bondage, but a free child, because the Spirit of God dwells in them. That's why they're children. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Christ is the heir of God. All God has is his, and I'm a joint heir with him. Listen to this scripture. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 23, with regard to all the Father had given him, he said, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, however it is that God loves his altogether lovely Son, that is how he loves every one of his children. And they all, without exception, if you're a believer, this is you. You are the temple of the living God, the omnipresent, the omnipotent, the omniscient God. Every believer is the temple of the living God, and God the Holy Spirit dwells within us. How amazing.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.